We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
There it is, live from Super Bowl Radio Row. Yeah. Welcome in to an emergency edition of CHGO Bears After Dark. That's right. We got an After Dark in there for you this week, Braggsy.
That's right. That's right.
We are presented by Factor Meal Kits. Head to factormeals.com/CHGO Bears50 and use code CHGO Bears50 to get 50% off. And as always, Bears After Dark also brought to you by DraftKings. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Greg Braggs Jr. here, and Adam Rank joining us for the special edition.
Yeah, burning the midnight oil on Radio Row.
This is our first opportunity to do this, but I wanted to do it right now because it felt like it was trending this way. So I'm so happy to be on with you guys.
Yeah, this is a big show. It's a big show. We've been waiting for it now for 3 years for Devin Hester. We've been waiting for it forever with Mongo. And, of course, Julius Peppers, just a no-brainer as well. So big night for the Chicago Bears. Three more Hall of Famers. I don't know if Julius Peppers really counts or how that's going to work.
Greg and I have been talking about this. We're split because I still, you know, like I appreciated him when he was there. I thought it was a great signing and everything like that. But at the same time, he left and went to play for the Packers.
Yeah, that's true.
I know the Packers, I saw on the tweet deck, like the Packers, they're glomming in on it as well. Like, you guys just sit this one out. You got Tom Grossi winning the award. Let us have this.
I think of him as a Panther more than anything.
And he's going in as a Panther.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about Devin, though, to start, because, look, I mean, I honestly felt like he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. I miss your special teams. I know. I get it. But we all watched him. And if you understand football and understand how much field position matters, you understand how much Devin Hester made a difference beyond just the touchdowns, which alone, you know, is right there at the top of the Pro Football Hall of Fame resume. So, look, I get it. Maybe you don't get a returner in the first time, second time, based on who else is available. Only so many guys can get in. But I'm glad it finally happened because, to me, Devin Hester always has been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I was the what is it called?
My goal is to have you two fight over this during the show.
Are we going to do this?
We're not having any fights. I was the one on the show, Adam, that's been saying that. Look, yes, Devin belongs in the Hall of Fame. No, in my opinion, he didn't belong on the first ballot with guys that were every down players. But certainly belonged, incredible, unique talent, best to ever do it. No argument for me. We're talking with Jared Payton yesterday, and he was just giving a kind of anecdotal Devin moment, like when he's running by him at Miami, and you hear this sound of that you literally don't hear from anyone else. And what makes me happy about it the most is that, I mean, Devin really, really, really wanted this and wanted to be recognized, validated for what he did. And deservedly so, he got it.
But that's the thing, though. You talk about winning all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. And when you talk about every down players, like Chuck Bednarik was the last one to do that in 1960. There's specialists now.
Yep.
There's pass rushers only. You know, again, when you talk about his contemporaries, nobody compares. He is the best at what he did. And what he did was a very granted, it's a little specialized, but I thought he was so exemplary that he deserved it. I'm with you, Adam. I would have put him in the first ballot. I'm a little bit biased. I'm not afraid to admit that. But at the same time, I still think I would have done it.
Yeah, it obviously was, you know, an awesome moment to see him get inducted. I know how much it meant to Devin. I know it hurt him the last couple years to not get in. So it's over now. He's in. We don't have to cry over the fact that he wasn't first ballot or put in the second year. Last year was 2023. Put him in 23.
There you go.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's okay. To go in with Steve Mongo, McMichael, and even Julius Peppers to an extent, it's a big year. It'll be a fun night in Canton, Ohio, come August.
I would be shocked if the Bears are not playing in the Hall of Fame game this year, too.
I think that's
was already joking about that. Yeah. It's the Hall of Fame game. You got Caleb Williams. Like, it's just going to be – no, I'm joking. Please, I'm joking.
There it is.
I'm joking.
And if I could, you know, play the little reporter game, but sources have told me, and it hasn't – we'll find out for sure. But sources have told me that Dan Hampton will be the one to induct Steve Mongo McMichael.
That makes sense.
Canton, you know, come August. So that'll be a nice moment as well.
Should I tell a Mongo Hamp story to celebrate Steve McMichael?
Please, yeah,
I mean, they were best of buddies, locker mates, the whole thing. And so allegedly, I wasn't there, but I think you can pretty much bank on this story. They're up in Green Bay. Bears are playing the Packers. I don't know if they won the game or lost the game, but either way, they decided, Hamp and Mongo, that, you know what, bus isn't going to be leaving for a while. Why don't we go outside and drink the Packers fans' beers? So they went out into the parking lot, and they're hanging out with Packers fans, and they're having a couple of whatever they were having afterwards, just, you know, hanging out and celebrating, and like, hear these Packers fans hanging out with Hampton and McMichael, the whole thing. And then they hear the bus starts revving up.
Oh, no.
So they start running up. We got to go. See you guys later. Thanks so much for your beers. They run on up, and Ditka sees them running up, tells the bus driver to go. The bus goes, and Ditka gives the one-finger salute to both of them. Yes, true story. And the bus goes, and they got to find their way home, and there were fines with it. So Mike Ditka owes both Hamp and Mongo an apology tonight, even though perhaps that was not necessarily the thing you should be doing after the game.
There's a big Ditka party tonight with Jaws. Like, they have their cigar party.
Yeah,
so
every year.
I'm sure it's going to be lit tonight. Pun intended. You know, it's funny because Mongo, and Greg and I have talked about this, is like he exceeded sports. You know, like, he obviously had a second career in WCW. And this became something that was important to guys like Ric Flair and a lot of the WWE legends, like, really took an issue with it. Like, they really wanted him in. And as much as Chicago Bears fans and guys like Dan Hampton wanted him in the Hall of Fame, like, these wrestlers wanted it too. And I think it just speaks to Mongo and with everything that he's been fighting for, like, the fact that he also gets to be recognized while he's still with us. And I think of players like Ken Stabler, who were put in after they had passed away. Like, this is something that I think is very special, and I know that it means a lot to his family. And I think that's – it's coming into this, like, for so long, it's been about Devin Hester, and you want Devin Hester. But as you learned about the story of Steve McMichael, you're like, you know, I really need this to happen for him.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. And, like, you know, as somebody who – was born right after that Super Bowl and, you know, probably wasn't able to fully enjoy Mongo's career. I mean, I do have some vague memories, but the more and more you learn and you talk to people that you know, watched him constantly or played with him, even more importantly, the more it becomes obvious that, like, this is the overlooked guy from this amazing defensive line. And it's incredible now how many Hall of Famers from that team and that defense there are. And he's clearly was the missing piece, and now it feels like complete, doesn't it?
Yeah. Model of consistency, 15 seasons, 13 with the Bears, played every single damn game, was as tough as they possibly came. If you look at his – he's got – More sacks than Hamp, who's been a first ballot Hall of Famer, the whole thing. Yeah. Steve McMichael was an unbelievable football player and was miserably overlooked for a long time. He absolutely 1,000% belongs in Canton. It's not because he's, this is no sympathy case here. This is a guy that absolutely belonged. No.
Let me ask you this, Adam. Steer it back to Devin Hester. I'm sure we'll pop back and forth, but what is your personal I know you got the clips coming out, but what is your favorite memory of Devin Hester?
Can I tell the story that I said on that clip? Because I was working in the NFL Network newsroom, and it's a Monday night, and it's a miserable thing, and Matt Leinart and the Cardinals are beating the Chicago Bears, and I'm going to have to write a game story after this thing. And then the events unfolded as they did, and as much as the Super Bowl is often talked about with Devin Hester, like that game just exemplified. I think that's the case. Beyond the Super Bowl, like the Super Bowl is an iconic moment, and Tyler Scott talked about it on our show about like you don't see it anymore with the flashing bulbs of cameras. Mm-hmm. I think that was like one of the last Super Bowls where we had flashing bulbs, and the flashing bulbs are going off to start Super Bowl 41, and Devin Hester returns a touchdown, returns a kick for a touchdown, and that's obviously iconic. But I think like the Monday night of just like everybody's at home watching, you think the game's over, and then you get the Dennis Green post-game thing. Like, that, I think, adds to the legend. Like, when you start talking about, like, the Dennis Green thing doesn't happen without Devin Hester.
100%.
So, I think, so there's layers to this. And, again, you know, we've talked about, like, when you tell the story of the NFL, can you avoid talking about this player? Devin Hester, you cannot. And it's one of those things, too. And Spice Adams, who you guys will talk to on Friday, was talking about, like, teams would rather kick the ball out of bounds, mm-hmm. let the Bears start at the 40, as opposed to letting Devin Hester return it.
Which is why I always talk about just the field position. Like, if you go back and think about that year they made the Super Bowl, like, offensively, they scored a lot of points that year, which was, like, kind of a weird year. The Bears don't usually do that. But look at their field position. Yeah. Like they were starting almost every drive already with the percentages in their favor to score. And then the games where they struggled to score, it was maybe the field position wasn't working their way, or they were just totally inept, like that Cardinals game, because people forget how bad, right? That was like one of the worst Rex Grossman games ever. Wow.
One of the worst quarterback games in the history of the NFL.
Probably. But that's what I love about talking about Devin Hester, because there's so many other examples, like Todd Sauerbrunn, like sort of just being stubborn, being like, nah, fuck it, I'm kicking it to him. And,
yeah.
And him making him pay.
He got cut.
Yeah, and then making him pay.
After that.
The trick play that didn't count, where they used him as a decoy. With Johnny Knox and the stupid-ass penalty they called. It shouldn't have been a penalty. That's one of the best plays that never caught. Didn't he score two against the Rams,
Where was Patrick
too?
Mahomes on that one?
Yeah.
You have an all-time play. You just let it go.
Yeah, right. Two against the Rams, two against the Broncos. Adam, what was the first year you started covering the Bears?
2011.
Okay, so for you in your time covering the Bears, mm-hmm. what was your favorite Devin Hester moment?
From the games I covered?
Yep.
See, unfortunately, that was kind of when his touchdown started to dry out. So,
but he had the second lift at the back end.
Yeah, but I believe that
it became a thing. Yeah, where they avoided him, and then they're like, he's not good anymore.
Because I think 2011 was where he broke back out. He had the return against the Packers.
And one of those years was I was covering them in the game when they used him as the decoy, which is maybe why that's one of my favorite.
Were you
plays.
Covering the game?
Outdoor Minnesota game?
Yeah,
was
that's
awesome.
What I was going to ask.
Yes,
were you covering that game?
So,
because Devin Hester got very. That's one of my favorite Devin Hester moments ever.
Yeah,
was when he broke the record. Went to the post-game presser and cried about how much his teammates.
And they won the
him.
North that night, right?
They won
too?
The division, and Corey Wooten killed Brett Favre.
Yeah, well, he's still with us, but you know.
Well, and that's the beauty of you, Gregory. You grew up. This was your. There was Jordan, and then there was Devin. I think. I mean, was a Cub in there? I'm not exactly sure. Is that right? Is that your order?
It's the 23s for me that hold dearest to my heart in Chicago. Jordan, Sandberg? Obviously. Jordan, Sandberg, Hester.
Yeah, but you're too young.
Jermaine
Dye.
Don't forget about Jermaine
Dye. Robin Ventura. White Sox. And, yes, Jermaine Dye, World Series MVP. Kyle Fuller, he was 23. Jerry Azuma was 23. It seems like when you wear that number in this city, you tend to have good things happen. And if you don't, then you don't deserve to have that number, and you don't last long.
That number should be retired through all sports.
Thank you.
Chicago.
I've been saying that for a long time. The number 23, at least in the NBA for Michael Jordan, I believe, should be retired for every team. And in for the Miami Heat, they do retire it out of respect.
The only
Jordan.
Reason why I disagree with that, I mean, obviously for the Bulls, 100%. But yeah. I feel like it should be, like, for instance, Northwestern has this thing where, like, the number one jersey means a lot. And, like, every year it's, like, a prize possession that they give out to us. Like, I feel like there should be, like, a rite of passage for the other teams in Chicago. Like, you don't just get to wear 23. You have to, like, earn it. And then it means something extra. Yep. And that could apply to all the teams because it has transcended beyond the Bulls. Every single one of our teams in Chicago, 23 has been a special number.
So,
he was 30.
Mr. Hester Hader, do you have a particular – I'm kidding.
He's not.
Do you have a particular moment that sticks out to you outside of the Super Bowl?
So, I mean, first off, the Super Bowl by far was just the most – for me, like, I think, you know, you're sitting there, you think they have absolutely no chance to win the game.
Peyton Manning.
I didn't think they had a shot.
I have never been more confident about a game. So Devin Hester returns that kick. Then people forget Peyton Manning throws a pick.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're like, it's postseason Peyton. At that moment, I had never been more confident
it's raining.
Of a win.
It
like
was
raining.
Yeah.
This dome quarterback who can never play well in the playoffs. Like, it's over.
Where were you when Hester returned?
We were at a big Super Bowl party. It was a great scene. Everybody went crazy. This is not the time for this conversation, but that Bears team, I never thought that they were remotely capable of winning a Super Bowl. And so then they're in the game, and I'm like, there's no chance they'll win. And then he does it, and it's like, oh my God, they actually might do this. And then, of course, it went the other way. But
you might be correct. That team should not have won a Super Bowl. You want to know why they were in that game? Why they got that far? Devin Hester.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that is the thing. And I think that if the Bears had won that game, first ballot would have happened automatically. Like there would be no debate.
He had a return in the divisional round that game against the Seahawks where he took one step and then up the sideline. Yep. They called it back on a push in the back, which was a bullshit call. I'll never forgive him for it. And he chucks the ball into the stands, and a woman from Chesterton caught it. Chesterton's in the region. It's a couple towns over from where I grew up. There isn't a step of Devin Hester's career that I didn't follow. He is by far my favorite Chicago Bear of all time. To see him get inducted here today, honestly, is it's a great thing as you step on my court.
I'm not stepping on your court.
Yes, it is something that means a lot to me as a Bears fan. There's no question about it. My personal favorite moment, there's so many, obviously, so I kind of like to get into the weeds. He had 6 touchdowns his rookie year.
Yeah.
And the 7th was the Super Bowl touchdown, which I count. And then his second year, he backs it up with another 6. There was back-to-back games where they played the Lions and the Vikings where he just went insane. The Vikings game was the famous Hester versus Adrian Peterson game where they accumulated between the two of them, I think, 1,000 yards together, like total yards, kick return, because Devin also had a touchdown catch from Brian Greasy in that game, his first career touchdown reception. And those two games, that little window there was otherworldly. Every time he touched the ball in both those games, he just created chaos. The Lions game, it was in Detroit. For whatever reason, they just kept kicking to him. And there's a player, number 82, I forget his name. He was a backup tight end playing special teams. This poor guy, 4 different times. Devin, he couldn't touch him. 4 different times, this guy ate the turf. because Devin just dusted him. And it was just one of those things like where I'd love to know what that guy felt. That's got to be a humbling feeling. Like you said, you can hear him, you know, whistle by you. He was as special as they come. I don't think there will ever be another Devin Hester in the NFL.
Well, the Cardinals' performance was just completely and utterly just so, like, stupidly fun. that was – you're watching him and you're thinking, this guy is – first of all, you're looking at Arizona like, do you not understand what you're doing, or do you know who you're competing against? Secondly, this guy's completely and utterly insane. This is so that was fun.
It's not like Dennis Green had experience in the NFC North.
Right.
Yeah, I always have said he's not the best player I've ever seen, but he's the most electric player I've ever seen.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, and there was never a player that I just, you know, I almost think about it like a baseball player where you're like, you can never miss an at bat. Yeah. But like that was it with Devin. Like you couldn't. You had to make sure you were in front of your TV whenever that ball was getting kicked, because you did not want to miss one of his returns. That's how I always looked at it. I talked to Dave Tobe on Monday night. I wanted to share some of this because, you know, the answer to the question of which one was your favorite is obvious. He brings up the Super Bowl. How could it not be? But I asked him, like, did you guys think they were going to kick to him to start? And Tony Dungy's told his side of the story a couple times. The plan wasn't to kick, and then kind of the night before they changed their minds. But for Dave, it was always – for Dave Tobe, always was like, look, all these cameras, all these people, they're going to kick to you. They're not going to – you know, it's just a moment. They're not going to wilt and, like, kind of curl up in a ball. They're going to have the balls to kick to you. And those guys, you talk to guys like Jason McKee, the people that blocked for him, they literally had competitions with money on the line to get to – there was a reward system to get him into the end zone.
Right.
And that was all internal, like, within them. But they had their competition – of who is going to be the one to spring the block, that's why if you watch so many of his returns, you see so many of his teammates right there with them, just as ecstatic as he is, because they were actually racing down to the end zone too. So some of these stories, even within Devin Hester, they're awesome.
And we spoke with Pina Tillman, and we're going to play that clip here later on. That's the point, is his teammates. Some of the best players on the team wanted to play special teams.
Oh, Charles wanted to be on the
field. Pina played special teams for 13 years. Yeah. You know,
a lot of it was Hester. Like, there was like, no, we want to be on the field.
Right. And so the teammates, how much they took pride. And like I said, when Devin got emotional talking about them when he broke the record, it showed how much that meant to each other. When you watch those first two seasons in particular, you talk about the Arizona touchdown on the Monday night miracle. Brendan Iambadejo, he's one of the most unsung heroes in the Devin Hester story ever. And I will challenge every one of you to go out, watch every Devin Hester touchdown, specifically in those first 2 years, and watch Brendan Iambadejo only.
He was a physical freak.
He was the guy that sprung him on most of them, if not all of them. He was always there to make the key block. And I think Devin being the guy that, you know, it was a feel for him. Like, he's got the burst. He knows he's got to, you know, one step and go. But he also could feel his blockers. He knew how to manipulate the pace. You know, like when who had the kick return off the kickoff, the field goal return, and you said, and that's why that guy's not in the Hall of Fame this year for the Bears.
Oh, yeah. The Falcons game.
The Falcons game.
When they had the opportunity right before halftime to return it, like, I'm watching that play out, and he ran out of gas. Yes. Hester's gone.
Right. So, but the difference.
He ran out of gas and kind of tripped over his own feet.
But the difference was about pace. Like I'm saying, he understood. Devin waited.
Slow down. Boom.
He walked like Clint Eastwood.
Well, he was literally like a manual car. Like, first gear, second gear, third gear, and then, you know,
bait them all to come into you. Bang, go. And then there's Hunter Hillemeyer laying a guy out. You know, another starter on the team. That's what Devin Hester and the Chicago Bears special teams was.
And you see it in that Super Bowl return as well. Like, where he's just kind of like floating along, doing his thing before he hits that burst. And it's a speed. It's kind of like watching Messi. Like, I know Messi gets kind of a rap for, like, walking too much, but I think it's very calculated. And Devin had that kind of ability to just know what gear to put into what position. And you know what? And it obviously paid off. And it's funny because you talk about the slump. It's not – I hate calling it a slump because, like, the team just avoided him. And it goes back to what Spice Adams was talking about. All these guys will talk about. It's like nobody just kicked him. Like, it just became a thing like, we're not doing it anymore. Yep. We're not giving you the mm-hmm. opportunity. It's not like – it's not like in baseball or something where you like have to pitch. You don't have to pitch to him. Like, you know, you could always kick around him at some point. And well, what his totals would have been had they been forced to do it, it would have been much different.
The rules also started to change too,
yeah.
which is another one of the reasons why he's responsible for some of these things. They shouldn't have changed some of these rules. I mean, a lot of it had to do with health and safety, but it's just, there's never going to be someone like that again. By the way, I want to share one quick note that does not have to do with this, but it really surprised me. But I think it's the right call. Joe Flacco won comeback player of the year over DeMar Hamlin.
Ooh,
interesting.
You know, it's
I mean, how many games did Joe Flacco play?
I mean, I kind of agree with it. Like the DeMar Hamlin thing was great, but like he wasn't like he was.
I know. You come off as not you in particular, but yeah. I'm like it seems callous, but like. Comeback player, somebody like yeah. Joe Flacco.
What Joe Flacco
at home,
did this year was insane.
Leading that team to the playoffs, like that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. I just wanted to share it
we
real
did,
quick.
Yeah, that's fine. Shout out Joe Flacco. We'll get to some of the other guys that won MVP, Rookie of the Year, and some of the other stuff. We do have a super chat from Q Harlan, $5 super chat. Hester's moment that stands out, first time he touched the ball his rookie year, punt return week one against the Packers on opening day. And that was the other thing. The first time against the Packers, first game of his career, touchdown. First Monday night game of his career, game-winning touchdown. First playoff game, called back touchdown. First Super Bowl, first time he touches the ball, touchdown. He did things like he was one of those guys when you needed it the most in the biggest moments, he always seemed to come through, especially early on. It was just one of the most unbelievably electric things this city has ever seen.
100%.
Well said.
I would agree.
By the way, we have Nicholas Moriano.
Talk about
out.
Devin Hester the rest of my life.
I think you should.
We have we do not have. Well,
we have Devin Hester.
Well, we might. Devin Hester is at the press conference. Nick is there, so Nicholas Moriano is covering the press conference, and so make sure you're following him on Twitter at Nicholas Moriano, and of course our CHGO Bears account on Twitter as well for more coverage. Should we play some of Peanut Tillman stuff?
Well, before we do, I know Adam's got to get to dinner.
Okay.
So we'll let him jet.
I'm getting browbeat by our producer.
Yeah.
I wanted to be here, and I'm glad I was able to share it with you guys because it's like it would have been weird to be like in a cab somewhere when this happened. We, you know, like because I know how much it means to you, and I know like and we're
and
teasing you about being
fans.
A hit, but like
yeah.
this is a big thing. We're joking about this before we came on the air. Like we've got a pretty good representation here. Like we're pretty cool. Like the Bears fans are showing out, and obviously part of it is because of the Hall of Fame, but like. I just think it speaks to the fan base. So I'm just really excited that I was able to share it with you guys.
Hey.
And it's great being here. And it's one of the great things about being a Chicago Bears fan. And I think we're just we're on the upswing.
Well, you're one of the lead ambassadors here of Bears Nation. And, no, you are to us. I'm telling you. As a fan, I'm telling you. Because your positivity is infectious. And in a time right now where it is a bit divided and divisive when it comes to Bears fans, a night like tonight where we can celebrate something that all of us as Bears fans agree on is important, and I think your positivity and energy, as infectious as it is more than welcomed tonight.
Thank you.
For you to stay here on Radio Row, where literally nobody is in here,
there's no place I would have rather been.
Burn
yeah.
the midnight
no, no, no.
With us
I wanted to do this. Yeah, for sure.
Yes,
so Adam, thanks so much for being here, man.
Enjoy
thank
your
appreciate
dinner.
It. Appreciate it.
Every one of your appearances, Adam, not just tonight, brother. Thanks for being a good friend to us.
Yes,
no,
sir.
I appreciate it. I love you guys. You do great work, and I think that you know, we got a lot to look forward to. It starts with tonight, and then we got the draft. So there's going to be so many great things happening.
1 year from now, New Orleans, Super Bowl 59, Bears.
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 It's got to be.
Let's go.
Back to New Orleans.
59. It's
Bears versus Patriots.
Roosevelt Colvin. Let's go. We're going back to January 26, 1986. Mongo's in the Hall of Fame. By the way, one Mongo stat for you.
Hold your mongo stat.
Hold your mongo stat. That's a tease.
Yes.
That's
yes. a tease. We got to get over a break. We got to get to peanut. We got to let Adam get out of here.
Can't believe you're making me hold one stat.
You're going to hold that stat. You're going to hold that stat.
Holding stat.
In the meantime, looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game. Turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code CHGO. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Earlier today, Greg Braggs,
yes, sir,
Nicholas Moriano, had a chance to find and talk to Charles Peanut Tillman, who, of course, played with both Devin Hester and Julius Peppers. And this is their conversation from earlier on Radio Row.
Charles, if you can go back and think about all the Hester moments, which one stands out the most to you?
The one when we played the Giants, I think it was like Sunday night, Monday night football. He returns back the missed field goal. He just had a wall of blockers running down our sideline. I know I pancaked the guy. Hunter Hillemeyer pancaked the guy. Devin gets to the end zone and he does the ball in. That's when that whole ball in, that's when that song came out. So, yeah, it was a great memory. Great memory.
One of my favorite memories of your guys' returns, because it really was a team effort.
For sure, 1,000%.
You know, like, and that was the thing I think I enjoyed watching most is how much pride you guys took in blocking for him.
Yeah.
And the game where you guys clinched the division against the Vikings, his rookie year, he kind of rolls on top of you as he's stumbling into the end zone.
That's probably one of my favorite ones, because punt returns, because I'm blocking my guy and I see him and he's behind me and I'm trying to time it up, like waiting. And then I just had to dive at the last second to push him, and then he ran right in, and then that was awesome. That was a fun one.
Like, for you guys, you guys became starters and wanting to stay on special teams to block for him. Talk about that a little bit.
So it's funny, Roman and I, we talk on our podcast, but I was a special team starter all 13. I started on defense, but I did special teams my entire career. And I think special teams is something that you want to be on it, you know? And we wanted to be on the field when Devin was returning. And we wanted to block for him. And because he was so good at it, there was more of a, I want to be a part of greatness because I know he's going to return it. All I need to do is give this guy just a slight crease. And Devin would tell you, he's like, look, man, all I need is a crease. Just give me a little bit of a crease. I'll set up the block. You just block him. I'll set up the block. I'm going to help y'all out too. And it was really a team effort. It wasn't just up, punt return, third down, go try to block it, do this, and run down the field, let him fair catch it. Like, it was like, no. Hey, this is a touchdown. And that was how we thought. We thought every return was going to be a touchdown. And he had a lot of good ones that didn't go, but we still had good field position.
Yeah. So it's Super Bowl weekend, obviously. We're coming up on it. You know, Devin Hester's Super Bowl return is one of the greatest Super Bowl moments ever.
Right.
Talk about the lead up to that game, the preparation for that moment.
Yeah.
You said you guys always knew he was going to take it to the house.
So
your memories of that.
My memory from that is I tried not to get too excited because there was a lot of football left. I'm not going to say that I wasn't, because I was. I just suppressed a lot of it because it's only one play. And on the other side of the ball, they had Peyton Manning. And I know how good he is with 90 seconds left in the entire game. So you got a whole four quarters minus 10, 15 seconds into the game. So I was excited, but yet at the same time, I was just like, okay, it's one play. I'm happy. I couldn't process, like, man, the opening kickoff, he just took it back. I was just like, hey, he took it back. All right, we got work to do. So when I look on it now, I'm kind of mad at myself because I didn't enjoy all of it in that moment. I was so focused on, it's just one play, up and down, it's just one play. Good play, bad play, up and down. So I'm kind of mad at myself because I didn't fully take advantage of that moment of, because I look at all the film and everyone in the sidelines are jumping. If you see a film of me, sitting there like this, like, yep, he got it. Okay, that's one. We need to get some more. And that was just kind of like my mind or my thought process in that time.
Yeah, I can remember an NFL Films audio for the Seahawks in the playoffs leading up to that where a guy came up to you and was like, that guy is good. And then he's like, we told him, kick the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those special moments. One thing I'd really love to hear, this is for me just as somebody that – Devin Hester's my favorite player. I don't think that's ever going to change. All due respect, Peter.
I take no offense to it.
I'm sure he's probably your favorite player all the time,
it's
right?
It's all opinionated. I'm cool with it.
So, for me, I love to hear the stories of what wasn't on TV, like the practices. You know, I heard some great folklore stories of what he did at Miami. Can you give me any moment in practice that is a unique story that stood out?
Well, practice – everyone scores touchdowns in practice.
Sure.
I scored touchdowns. Every interception I got, I scored a touchdown. So in practice, do I have anything? I don't know. What I could tell you is when we played defense or special teams, like when we weren't in the game, we were always playing games. Meaning the offensive team would go and they'd run their 10 to 12 plays. Defensive players and special teams players, we'd be taking a break, sitting on the benches. And we would play charades. We would play like movie game. We would play this acting game. And we literally just made up games during practice. That was the one thing that, in my opinion, that kind of made us unique and it made us closer. Offense, they run their 12 plays. We're like, all right, movie, three words, first word, single word, one syllable. You know, the. Okay, second word. Three syllables, the third syllable sounds like. So we would play all these games in practice, and it was like, lethal weapon, yes, that's it. Then the horn would blow, and it was like, defense. And then we'd all get our helmets, put them on, go run our defensive period, and then next thing you know, we run our 10, 12 plays. We come back. All right, who's up? Hey, Lack, it's your turn. Hey, Lance, it's your turn. All right, cool. What do we have? All right, cool. Do this movie. And I gotta give him a movie. He's like, all right. This movie has we just play games, and that's what made us cool. It made us close. Like, we knew to have fun and win the play. When it was time to strap on the helmet and go to work,
yes, sir.
We would go to work. And it was 11 guys. It was 11 guys, 11 ballers, 11 great players just having fun.
Yeah, playing
true.
Great I defense. Can just say, me and Nick, watching you guys at Bourbon, it was an honor to watch you guys, like, legends all across the field. Real quick, because I know you got a lot to get to with what you're doing, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the current Bears and the trajectory they're on.
Defensively, I think they're doing some good things. Offensively, I think we got some ways to go. But there's growth in it, right? Someone asked Giannis a question last year, the year before last, was like, is it a failure? And he was like, no, you know, it's growth. I don't see it as failure. I see it as us getting better. And I see it as the Bears getting better. I haven't played for the team in a while, but my heart and soul is with this team. I get mad when they lose. I get happy when they win. And what I really want to see, though, is I just want to see 53 guys competing. Not two or three, not five or six. I want to see 53 guys competing. And whatever the coach is saying, whatever your defensive coach, offensive coach, coordinator, whatever, I want you to truly believe that this offense is going to score us 25, 30 points. This defense is going to keep the offense from getting 7 points or 14 points. And I want them to know that, and I want to see 11 guys run into the ball. I want to see 11 guys doing one thing to make this play perfect every single time.
You feel like they were flying around enough? Like, especially
I do. I feel like the defense, when Flew started calling the defense, I thought the defense did a phenomenal
contest,
job.
Sweat arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see more production out of the D-line.
Yep.
You know, once he got there, D-line started doing stuff.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see guys
secondary
compete.
Secondary started.
I want to see guys compete. I personally would be mad if I'm on that D-line and then you go get a guy and then all of a sudden we get better. Like, if I'm one of the other D-linemen in there, like, no, I'm him. I'm a guy. I'm good enough. You don't have to go get a guy outside of me.
But that's me and that's my mindset. That's how I think. I would think, no, I'm the guy. You don't need to go get a guy. You can pay me because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get the sack or I'm going to whatever. I'm going to get the pass rush. I'm going to get up the field. I'm going to get the TFL. That's how I think. I don't want you to go have to go shop and get a guy. That means I'm not doing my job. Right. So I would take offense to that if I were a D-line.
What'd you make of Jalen's season?
I thought he did great. Yeah. I thought he did great. The thing about having a good season, now you've exposed yourself and you let everyone know how good you are. So now that's the new expectation. You set the bar here. Now, next season, I want you to set it here and just keep going and learning. And I hope he stays and he continues to grow and his wisdom, and he just has a phenomenal season.
Real quick on Tyrick Stevenson and Kyler Gordon, you know, young guys, you ascended pretty quickly, and it seems like they've kind of caught on pretty quick.
They have great seasons. I think a lot of the success, too, though, is one, them, but their coach, John Hogan. He's a great coach. Yeah. He was there when I was there. Mm-hmm. I made 2 Pro Bowls with him. I was all pro with him. He's a great teacher. He's a great teacher at teaching concepts and how teams are attacking you. The student has to be willing to accept coaching and not be defensive when you do something wrong. I think today's group of athletes can be sensitive at times when a coach is trying to coach you, not disrespect you or pick on you, but actually just trying to coach you to get you to become the best version of yourself on this play or that play. And I think John Hope is a good coach to get any player to get the best potential out of that player. So in my, I'm not surprised Jalen had a good season. Hocus is he's a good coach. He's a good coach at getting the best out of you. And he doesn't have to yell. He doesn't have to, you know, scream at you. He gonna talk to you. And he knows, all right, well, he can do this. Well, look, that's not good enough. I need you to do more. And you can do it.
Yes, sir.
And it's my job to get it out of you. And I'm not going to scream and yell and piss and moan. We're professionals. It's a job. Mm-hmm. We treat it like a business. And I believe he got it out of him. And he did it in a professional way. And I think Jalen benefited from that.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? It's a partnership with the coach and the players. And I want the players, I hope the players can see it as such. It's a partnership. Your job is to put me in the best position. My job is when you call this play, I need to be this place to make that play. And I'm my hope is that the partnership is even better in 2024.
Well, you know, we saw you at camp last year working with those guys, so it seems like they are, you know, sponges and want to learn from some of the greats.
Yeah.
You said the offense got a long way to go, so it's the proverbial what would
maybe
you do?
I'm not going to say long way to go. They I think they know they have an uphill road to climb. I'm not going to say 3-4 years. No, it could be this year. It could be this season. I think.
Well, here comes the proverbial. What are you doing with the number one?
I'm
fixing.
You can trade it. You can keep it. But if you keep it, I don't think you draft another quarterback, because if you draft another quarterback, in my opinion, at number one, you're just starting the clock over and you're doing it all over again. You know, I think Caleb, I don't think he's ever officially said he doesn't want to come to Chicago.
Sure.
People in his camp have said that. How true is it? I don't know. I don't even really care. I just know that I would never want to draft a guy who didn't want to come play for my organization.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I personally think it's a privilege to get drafted by any team. And if you're the prospect, it's up to you to prove yourself to that team and the rest of those veterans on that team. And I'm not saying Caleb said that. It was just, it's rumor, whatever. So I'm commenting on the rumor. But if they do decide to go with him, hey, I'm a firm believer in competition. May the best man win. We saw it in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Purdy, he's still there. And he was a 5th, 6th round pick, and he's getting ready to play for a Super Bowl. Competition brings out the best in everybody. Whether you're a first round pick 3 years ago, or whether you're the first round pick in 2024, competition brings out the best of everybody.
Well, if there's anybody that competed better with the Bears, you'd be hard pressed to find it. Peanut Tillman, we appreciate you coming on. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate y'all.
Always learn something new every time I talk to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, there is
Gregory,
our guy.
Great job, Gregory.
Thank you.
You too,
thank
Nicholas Moriano. That was fine.
Yeah, I didn't.
I just played.
Well, I didn't ask about Pep, so I certainly dropped the ball there. But my love for Devin was just spilling out and talking to Charles Tillman, who
you're definitely going to have to change when you get home. There's no doubt about that. It's been a long.
Good thing he brought six suitcases.
This is true.
He's got plenty of clothes, and he's got a. You better actually get back to your room pretty fast because you're going to spend all night packing.
Peanut's the best, too, man. This is true. And I can't wait to see you lug all that stuff here tomorrow. It's going
to
be great.
I'm going to have to – yeah, that's going to be funny. I'm going to have to probably just mail it back to my house.
Just are you glad you brought all that stuff?
No,
your
it
four
was
days
a terrible
here?
Mistake yeah. in how Jenny did not, like, put a stop to this.
It's her fault.
Yeah, I blame her.
Oh, it's her fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
She encourages this madness.
You know, my biggest conclusion of this entire week for everybody watching and have been following along is there's no greater person in the history of the world than Jenny.
Oh, Jenny is.
What she has to put up with on a daily basis.
I mean,
she's a saint. There's no question about it.
I think the highlight of the trip for me was one of the mornings walking from the hotel to the car, which is about a 5-minute walk. And by the time we got to the car, Hogue turns and he's like, I don't think I can do any more with him today.
to show you how long this week has been. That was this morning.
Yes.
That was today.
Well, and to know how long this week has been, when we walked in here tonight, after walking the strip, there were a couple people in here, and I said, good morning.
Just thought it was Friday already.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Adam Schefter did have a tweet. With Devin Hester, Julius Peppers, and Steve McMichael being selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024, the Bears figure to be scheduled for this year's Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio during the first week of August.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I said that. Why do you need like Adam Schefter's verification?
Yeah.
Why can't it just be at Adam Hogue who says that?
You know,
it's got to be Schefter.
Gary Ross texted it to me earlier today, too. So
I trust Gary, too.
Per Gary Ross.
Yeah.
Per Adam Hogue. Per Adam Schefter.
Okay.
Can I give my stat, please?
I forgot about this.
Steve McMichael ranks third all time in sacks for a defensive tackle behind Warren Sapp and John Randall. That is an impressive freaking statistic.
How did he have to wait two decades to get into the Hall of Fame?
And who's
what the hell?
And the player that's fourth is in the Hall of Fame, too. So, yeah, it was.
It's like someone decided there's just too many 85 Bears.
That's
we
correct.
We got to draw the line. It's a shame. Like, I'm really happy that and there's a video going around. I saw Larry Mayer put it out. It looks like there's a party at the house tonight, and you know people are with him as they were watching the NFL honors and the announcement being made. It's like so, and I'm glad that he's still, you know, I guess healthy enough would be the best way to put it, that he can appreciate that this is happening. He's obviously been fighting, and this has been a driving force. But it's also a shame that like this didn't just happen a long time ago.
When he could have really enjoyed it.
So it could have been celebrated properly.
Yeah. Jimbo Covert, Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, Mike Singletary, Walter Payton, Steve McMichael, all in the Hall of Fame.
Can you do that again?
Jimbo Covert, Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, Mike Singletary, Walter Payton, and now Steve McMichael are your 1985 Chicago Bear Hall of Famers, the greatest football team to ever play football. And look, if you were going to take somebody off that list, it wouldn't be Steve McMichael. I'm not going to rile up anybody. But
say Hamp.
It's definitely not Dan.
just to get a text message from him.
It's definitely not Dan Hampton either. But you know, there's a lot of people that think that that Singletary was not the best linebacker on that team. We don't need to have that conversation right now. They all damn ass belong. But you also can go back in time and see that when Wilbur Marshall left that defense was never the same. But Steve McMichael was and now is a Hall of Famer, and it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I'm happy about it. I know we got some super chats to get to. I did want to say something about Julius Peppers, too, just because, you know, I guess he's like the third on the list of Bears tonight. But obviously Julius Peppers, one of the best to ever do it. And I did cover the team for the majority of the time, basically almost all of it, that he was a Bear. And when you talk to people like Brian Urlacher, especially, but in Charles Tillman, had you asked a question, I'm just messing with you. The way that Peppers went about his business and just the team that everybody raves about him. He was one of those players that I honestly think partially maybe – like everyone knew he was good. I don't know that he like marketed himself the best when he was in Chicago because he was always quiet with the media. You know, and he was kind of like when we would talk to him, it wouldn't be the most engaging conversation every single time. But that doesn't take away anything, you know, take anything away from the player he obviously was and how disruptive he was. He's one of the best free agent signings in the history of Chicago sports.
Ever.
And forget about that part, too. Look, when you talk to players about Julius Peppers, they would say to you that the dude did not need a snap of training camp. He was that much of a physical freak. And there's
freak.
One, just a complete awe-inspiring athlete. Julius Peppers, one tweet out there from Jordan Reed, scored 21 points in an NCAA tournament basketball game, finished with the second most sacks in North Carolina history. That's insane if you think about how, you know, what this guy was before coming into the NFL. Then went on to run a 4.69 40 at 6'6", 283 pounds. Led, and then, you know, of course, 17-year career, fourth most sacks all time, 159 and a half.
When you talk about my days going to Bourbonnais as a young fan, chasing around players for autographs, harassing the players, having fun. Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Peanut Tillman, Mike Brown, Adewale Ogunleye, Alex Brown, you know, Tommy Harris. They were such a special group, but Julius Peppers was different amongst all of them. When you stood next to him,
this is the monster.
He was a monster, and I had an opportunity one day. He signed an autograph for me, and when he shook my hand, I've never had someone engulf my hand. My hand was gone; it was swallowed. He has bricks for hands.
Could you imagine playing basketball against him?
Yeah,
it was a basketball player.
Yeah, no, right.
The other thing I'll say about that moment too, just from a fan standpoint. I was always somebody that really enjoyed getting autographs at camp. Devin was great. Devin was one of the best to ever, like, take his time. He's always one of the last people off the field. And I don't judge players if they didn't want to. They ran back in. Whatever. They have a job to do. But Devin Hester, Tommy Harris, there were two that would always stay out. But Julius Peppers, the one time I had an interaction with him at camp where he shook my hand and he signed an autograph, he was one of the very few players that like really took their time and like the penmanship of his signature. And like for someone like me and a lot of fans that really value that stuff, and I still have that jersey to this day, I just really appreciated that as a fan. And we've
gotten to the point of the Hall of Fame show where we're talking
Hall
about the penmanship.
No, I'm just saying, like from a fan standpoint, like that stuff for me was special, and so I don't forget those moments.
We got it. As we wrap up the show here, I will go to bed tonight thinking about
tell you
Hall
another,
of Fame. No,
I'll
please
tell you,
don't.
No, I will. I'll tell you another great story. So Devin Hester's last year as a Bear.
Do you think
I
if we left him here all night just talking,
he would go
until like 6 in the morning?
I will tell Devin Hester training camp stories all year long. You guys can go. So his last year at camp, which it felt like he wasn't going to be retained. He was going to become a free agent. I was harassing him. I wanted his cleats so bad. And I've seen other players. Alex Brown would always give somebody his cleats and other players. So for the last week of camp, every day I'd be like, Devin, you're giving me your cleats at the end of camp. And he's like, he'd laugh, look over. And he knew me just from every year, just
from annoying him.
I made the DVD that I made everybody watch at our tailgates the first year. I gave him a copy. I gave him and Vaughn McClure, God rest his soul, a copy of the Devin Hester Chronicles, which you can still see on YouTube, but there's some of it's muted because I used music that didn't belong to me.
and then you asked for $20 like the guy in the strip an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
That guy was fascinating.
So
how long is this story?
It's almost this is a good story, and fans want to hear it even if you don't. So every day I kept going, Devin, you're gonna get so the second to last day I go, I'm gonna trade you my flip-flops, my Bears flip-flops for your cleats. And then the final day, push come to shove, I gotta get the cleats. I go, Devin, you promised me you're gonna give me your cleats. And he's like, I didn't promise you. I go, you promised. He didn't promise me. And he goes, all right, I got you, hold up. And he ran to the locker room. And I wasn't sure if he's going to come back. He comes back out on his bicycle, and he has six cleats signed. And he gave me a cleat and five other fans a cleat. And that was his last day at Bears camp in Bourbonnais. And I still have the cleats to this day. It's pretty
one
cool.
cleat?
One cleat.
Is it framed?
Yep.
That's awesome. That's great story.
That's a cool piece of memorabilia.
What else you got? I'll sit here all night with you.
No, let's get to some super chats.
Super chats. Let's, I can
let's
go
let
all
the fans
day.
Talk. Let's, Devin the, let's let the stories. Fans talk a little bit. Are you able to read these?
Yes.
We got one up. Don't touch my computer.
I can do it, Braggs.
Oh, yeah. Law's got his headset.
Yeah, we've lost the Adam ranks.
Thank you, Law. You do this.
Hands down. $9.99.
Oh, hands down, staying up late. Yeah. Hands up.
He says, missed y'all live this week. Congrats to the Hall of Fame Chicago GOATs, Devin Hester and Mongo McMichael. CHGO, y'all killing it on Radio Row this week. Rank, you're okay too. Bear
no,
the
thank
down.
You very much.
Thank you.
Yep. That's rad.
That was a huge round of applause from everybody around us.
Yeah, there's
hands down.
Literally like, oh, I see one person all the way over there.
There's a couple people over there.
Okay, Crystal Simone. We love Crystal, $9.99.
Crystal!
She says, huh, guys.
You
welcome.
Sound awful compared to this morning, by the way.
Yeah, it's just getting worse. I'm dying. I am dying. It's unfortunate. I had a good run. I mean, I had a good run, but that's
Nick
okay.
Nick almost died today.
What was that? Yeah,
oh, he's having, like, vertigo or something. He's still busting his ass.
Honestly, I wonder if it was because he did the DJ Moore interview and he was walking backwards while shooting it. Maybe there was some sort of...
Yeah. Lawrence is dying. Nick almost died. Carm passed out in the middle of the day.
Oh, I never posted
Holmes
that video.
Got a great video.
You don't even know I have that video.
Of Carm passing out.
I forgot about that video.
The sound of Arturis, the Bulls GM.
I finally go, Carm, what are you listening to? Listening to Arturis Karnišovas. Why?
And his eyes are, as he's listening, his eyes are rolling in the back of his head. And we're just sitting there waiting for him to see that we're just laughing
well,
at
I just,
him.
I couldn't believe the Bulls didn't make a trade, so I had to hear what he said, and then it was...
Continuity.
And went to bed. Okay, can we please stay focused
yes,
on the Super
Crystal.
Chats?
Crystal says, welcome, Rank. Love your show as well. We will pass that along. Guys, this was emotional for me. Urlacher is my favorite Bear, but Hester is just something spectacular. Love you guys, and amazing coverage this week. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you, Crystal.
Love you, Crystal.
Here's
You're
another,
the best, Crystal.
Here's another nice one. King Bishop, $10. CHGO, the best Chicago Bears podcast crew out there. First guys in, last guys out. Keep up the great work, gentlemen. Thank you so much, King Bishop.
Shout out to King Bishop. We saw him the other night at Circa.
King, you're the man.
Are we sure that's the same?
He told me whenever there's a bishop tag, it's him.
All right. Yeah, he's
so it's him.
Don't question the bishop.
I never Ever. Quite well I question him quite a bit in Twitter spaces. Shout out to you, Bishop. Appreciate you tuning in.
And then finally we've got the ghost of Eberflus's goatee.
Yes.
$4.99 and it's a nice photo of the Flus. Greg interviews people or just like how Chris Farley interviewed Paul McCartney. Peace and love be to your mayor meatball. Bear down. Way to go, Braggs.
There we go.
I appreciate
All right.
you.
Thanks to Factor again for having us out here. Factor Meals, go check them out. CHGO Bears.
Oh,
50 is the code to get 50% off.
I need some vegetables.
We can use some Factor right now. Also, DraftKings is always here on CHGO Bears After Dark. Vegas edition tonight. Hey, don't go anywhere. We have one more big day on Radio Row. We have so much content we haven't even gotten to.
Let's just stay live till tomorrow.
Braggs, can you cut some of these? I'm just
You have to
here.
Pack.
That's true. I have to pack.
Three suitcases.
I never unpack, so I'm good to go. You have to go pack. I want to leave everyone with this. Don't go anywhere. Will Anderson, by the way, won Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's joining us tomorrow.
Let's go.
The new Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm excited about that one. Donovan McNabb. Have
That's
you heard of him?
Yeah.
Mount Carmel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm. And
there's another
we have so many other conversations.
Sports star.
Oh, we sat down with TJ Edwards and Khalil Herbert today, so we're going to bring that to you as well. Together, we sat down with them.
And Tyler Scott and Brian Billick and...
We may get to all those.
Dan Orlovsky.
Matt Ryan.
They're all going up if they're not on the show, so it's going to be a very... Yeah. Hectic day of content coming out here. So hit that subscribe button if you haven't hit it yet. We are Monday through Friday live at noon, pre and post games, breaking news, Hall of Fame news, everything that you could possibly ever want in the history of the Bears is right here at CHGO Bears and our CHGO Sports YouTube page.
So. And I'm going to leave everyone with this quote from tonight. Nicholas Moriano covering the press conference and got this from Devin Hester. Devin Hester said, "It's hard to say who is the number one quarterback, who is the number two running back, the number one defensive player. But in the situation I'm in right now, I can honestly say I am the number one returner of all time.
No question.
Congrats to Devin Hester making the Hall of Fame. Congrats to Steve Mongo McMichael. Congrats to Julius Peppers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who is here with us tonight. We will talk more about this tomorrow. I think we're going to have some video from Devin as well for the show tomorrow. So make sure you tune
in
for that. Talk to you then.
We all silly like the mayor.